Well, we are getting ready to, our guest comes in here about five. Well, she's not coming in. She's going to be calling in, Miss Jennifer Yvette. But I am excited for the book. Let me just give you a little teaser here again. Diving deep into the supernatural side of your dreams, pastor and bestseller and author Jennifer Avaz offers a thorough, practical guide to navigating the vital God-given dreamscape. Laying out a biblical framework, she empowers you to reawaken your spirit to God's voice at night, discern the source and meaning of your dreams, discover the plans God reveals as you sleep, access supernatural weapons for any battle you face, and overcome sleep disorders and night terrors. Protect your sleep with White Watch Prayer.
All right, we will be right back here after this break with Jennifer Avaz on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back here. We're so excited for our interview. We've been talking about all morning, gearing up for this interview with Miss Jennifer Avaz, and so excited for what God's going to do in this section. She is going to be talking about her book, Awaken the Dreamscapes, the building blocks for understanding the supernatural power of your dreams. So, Miss Jennifer, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing really well. It's 6:30 a.m. here, California time, but I am awake and I'm ready for this interview. I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, I believe that God will give you supernatural strength. 6:30 comes early, don't it?
It's all sunshiny here, so we're good.
Well, but tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you are a best-selling author, minister, and international conference speaker is what the book. But tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners to get acquainted with you.
Sure. My husband and I, we have been pastoring Harvest Church based in Turlock, California for 28 years. We are a multi-site campus. We have a thriving online campus. And yes, I do a lot of itinerant ministry in the nations. I have six books, working on number seven, and dreams. This book, Awaken the Dreamscape, I just love that whole topic of dreams. It's a very unending topic.
Amen. So what kind of season did this book come from? Because to write a book like this, there had to be probably a season that was taking place. The Lord was instructing, doing something amazing in dreams, or you was around dreams. So give us a little testimony behind the book before we get into the content.
Oh, sure. Well, it's a bit of an unfolding story, but I'll just give you the short version. It did begin with some warfare over my sleep, and it really truly was warfare. I thought it was physiological, biological, and it turned out it was not. And it started when I was pregnant with my daughter. Just felt like my mind just kind of went dark. Aspects of my mind went dark. Felt like my imagination, my ability to see pictures in my mind, even my ability to sleep as a pregnant woman, all of that just shut down. And I started to stay awake unnaturally so. I got some medication from my doctor, but I only slept about 4 or 5 hours a night for about half of my pregnancy. Gave birth to my daughter, no issues there. And then I had a demonic dream about 2 weeks after her birth. And in that dream, I thought I was addicted to prescription painkillers. I woke up confused, thinking that I actually was and had been and should be in rehab. Absolutely confused. So they thought it was, some kind of postpartum situation. But insomnia set in like something terrible. I started having panic attacks. And I was like that for 2 years. And then one day I was just given up, really. A friend of mine had a vision, and she said, I saw a mind-bending spirit in your front yard, of all things. I've never heard of anything like that. She says, I saw this, and I saw myself pouring oil in your front yard and telling that demon to go away. And I said, well, whatever you saw in the vision, do that. And she did it, and within 2 hours, my mind came back to normal, and within 3 weeks, I was off medication. But even more so, I started to dream like I had never dreamed before. I started to have prophetic dreams. I started to see my day in the night beforehand, and then I would watch it all play out. And so I began to realize that the attack against my sleep was more than just a biological freaky thing. It was actually a demonic attack against dreams at night and what God was going to tell me in dreams at night. And I didn't realize that there was such a battle over that one particular area. Seeing a lot of people recover from sleep disorders as a result of it and get their dreams back because God's speaking at night and the devil fights against his voice in the night seasons.
Mm. I love it. I love it. So in this, how does people, and I know some of this is going to be in your book, so I don't know how much you want to give us and how much you want to tease it and how much you want to provoke people to go get it. But how does people start to pray and prepare for their sleep? Because I feel my sleep targeted much because I think sleep is very important. Like, I think it's incredibly important, and the enemy knows that. And so he wants to attack your sleep. And there's a lot of things that, you know, people talk about your guards being down while you're sleeping, that this is room for the enemy to attack. So what do we do to prepare to hear God's voice and sleep, but also prepare to be guarded and protected while we sleep?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Even medical doctors, I know when I go see somebody, they're always asking, how are you sleeping? Because there's such a realization of the importance of having quality sleep, being able to have that part of your life in order. And even, you know, even the Bible has promises about your sleep. And the reason we have to have promises for our sleep is because we need to have it. You know, so there's obviously some kind of battle zone there. And so you say, well, how do we prepare for that? Well, you know, I know for myself, I don't watch any sort of TV. I just don't watch TV as a rule. I might catch some of the news here and there. And I'm not saying that all of that's bad. But I do know that what I put into my mind, into my imagination before I go to bed is really going to, it's going to affect me. I don't recommend that you do a lot of stuff on your phone before you go to bed, that you really just give your mind some time to just to wind down. My habit is that I get into the Word of God before I go to sleep. Now, some people, they like to do that in the morning, and that's fine. But I like to really dig into the Word before I sleep. That really is my meditation at night, and so I go to bed with that. And so with that said, you know, if you're struggling at night, like you're waking up a lot, there's just not peace in your atmosphere, you need to set your atmosphere, you know, with getting into the Word, putting on some really good worship music, not the kind that amps you up, but the kind that settles you, that brings you into some state of peace, and really position your heart and your mind towards the presence of God. And just recognizing, you know, that hour or so before you go to bed really matters, especially if you're struggling to sleep at night. So, you know, set yourself up for a win. Cut out some of the things that are going to stir you up the wrong way. You know, certain TV shows are just going to, you know, we don't want that meditation going into the night. We want to have the things of God in our spirit as we enter into that time of sleep.
Amen. Amen. I love that because I do think that's important. And I'm guilty sometimes of just sitting there and you're with the kids, you're going through a busy day, and then you're laying down for bed, and you're like, I'm just going to check Facebook and just see what's going on, see if I have any messages, or check your phone. And before long, you've been in there an hour and a half, and you just wasted valuable time. And I'm getting closer and closer to, like, buying an old-school alarm clock and and, like, just putting my phone, like, at 9 o'clock on the kitchen counter and just leaving it there. As a pastor, you feel like that's dangerous because what if you get that midnight call or something like that, or a 3 a.m. call? That's the only thing. But I don't know. Like, I've really been battling with this for about a year now, just going back and forth about going for the old school, you know, those 12-inch tall orange letters and numbers and all that, and makes the most awful alarm ever. But it wakes you up for sure. But I think you have a lot of really great things to say there, and I love how you talked about getting into the Word of God before and fixing your mind and settling your mind. And I think that's a word for the church just in general, to be sober-minded, not when you're living, but sober-minded going to sleep too. And I think that's so rich.
I think this is probably the area of discipline that we will come into in this age. You know, it's gotten out of control. We didn't know how to handle our electronics. But I hear a lot of pastors who are just making those moves of discipline so that they can be ready, you know, to hear God and not be distracted.
Yes, yes. So With the same thing with our kids, what prayers do we pray over our kids? How do we pray over our kids before they go to bed for them protection? Because we just had VBS, so we had about 100 kids a night. And my younger kids, I was always like, what do you all want to pray for before I left the teaching class with them? And so many times with these little kids, it was like that we wouldn't have bad dreams.
Yeah, that is a big, big one with kids. And I've had to work my children through the same thing, just a general fear of the dark, a general fear at night. And so I would teach them various scriptures. We go over those scriptures. We pray through those scriptures, for God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. I just really encourage them in the things of the Word, especially before they go to bed. Just the comfort of a parent praying for them is significant. I don't know if you know, people who are listening to this today realize that a child having your presence and hearing your prayers over them before they go to bed at night, it comforts them, it settles them, it makes them feel safe. And I think that's a lot of it. They want to feel safe at night. So being present to do that, praying those scriptures that are comforting, you know, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're the giver of sleep and that you are good, and you are giving, you know, my son, we'll use my children for example, my son David or my son Chris or my daughter Christiana, that you're giving them good sleep at night. Come and give them dreams. Speak to them in the night, and we forbid any and all demonic interference in Jesus' name. And just be victorious about it. Mm-hmm. And that really comforts them and settles them into a good pattern of sleep.
Yeah. And also it's like you're praying for them, they're hearing it, but you're also, and I know this is like, it's like two birds with one stone kind of deal, but you're also formulating theology, and you're starting to formulate the way they're seeing the Lord and what he's doing. And there's just so many important things to pray over our kids and pray for our kids and pray specifically for our kids, not just generic prayers, but very specific prayers and targeted prayers, because you're formulating the way they're going to see and pray and think as well.
For sure. There's no junior Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
But there's no junior devil either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to tell parents that. You know, you got to teach your kids just in their language, but you've got to prepare them just like any adult needs to be prepared, because they're not dealing with anything less than what we deal with, to be straight up. And so we got to arm them appropriately. Don't make them spooky. But I know the parents have made their kids a little spooky in those areas. We want to, you know, translate that well. And your kids will be ready. They'll be more prepared.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing when you see that happening in children.
I love what you just said there. Can we unpack that just a little bit more? Like,
sure.
I know you, it was kind of like a, I think there's a lot there that I don't want to overlook just for a minute, and because you talked about don't make them spooky. And I think with the body of Christ and when we're raising our kids, we've got to make sure that we don't pass on a fear of demons and the supernatural, but talk about the overcoming power of Jesus over that. And I think sometimes in our kids, they're more fearful than they ever want to admit. So they hear us talking about these things and hearing us dialogue about them, and instead of giving them a sound mind and peace, we actually give them a spirit of fear. So how do we do that? How do we navigate those waters?
Well, it helps when we're not that way. Okay, so that's the first thing. Is you've got to be a person who really walks by faith, has a victorious communication. We got to be realistic and stuff, and actually demonstrates in front of your kids when there is a problem, this is how we handle those problems. You know, we get together in prayer, we begin to speak the word of God over the situation, and really demonstrate faith. Now, for any parent, that's easier said than done, but, you know, if you want your kids to grow up with, you know, victory in their spirit, you've got to actually conquer those areas yourself, and actually let them watch you do that, because it really matters. So, for example, our children, and I am so grateful, my children who are 21 and 15 now, but none of them have rebelled or anything like that. They've all, you know, they all love Jesus. They're all serving the Lord. And a lot of that just comes to how we lived our life in front of them, how we handled our problems. We taught them faith, you know, faith in God's word. We taught them giving. You know, they know that when they have a need, you know, they sow a seed. We went to ORU, so we learned that pretty well. So, you know, when you have a need, you sow a seed.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they've seen, you know, the good hand of God on our lives. And so even in deep struggles, they've just watched us, you know, pull out of things. And so our children have that inside of them, that no matter what's going on, you get a promise. And you begin to speak that promise over the situation, turn your eyes to Jesus, worship through it, get above the emotions, you know, the volatile emotions, through praise and the word, and you know, live as if God's going to answer it the way he said he's going to answer it. And so we've taught them that even at night, you know, we don't tolerate nightmares. We don't tolerate demonic hits at night. I'm not saying they won't ever happen, but when they do, we know what to do.
Yeah.
And so it's just, a lot of it is just us as a family, as parents, just demonstrating it and talking it through with them.
Well, I love that. I love that. That's rich. That's rich. Now, number one question I get whenever we talk about dreams and we talk about the prophetic dreams and we talk about all these things, and I hope that we've got about 15 minutes left, so I think we still got plenty of time to dive into some of these things, is how do we know what's from the Lord and not from the Lord?
That's a good question. It's interesting. I've actually had some dreams that initially I thought was demonic, and then I started applying some of the simple dream interpretation principles that I have in the book, and I'm like, no, I don't think that's demonic. I think that's actually the Lord, you know, and I was able to get around it. But that usually it's a lot more cut and dry. I would say most of your dreams are coming from the Lord. The ones that are not are the ones that have deception in it. You know, I don't know, you know, things like you dream that you're leaving your spouse or something. You know, that's not God. God's not calling you to leave your spouse in a dream. Just things, when a dream is kind of dark and foreboding, or you see like your children getting in an accident in a dream. Now, sometimes that's a warning dream. And even if that came from the devil, you still need to pray against it,
yeah.
You know, because something's up. And so, you know, you kind of learn. John 10:10 is a really good litmus test, you know, kind of a basic litmus test. Dream language gets more complex than this sometimes, but John 10:10, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come, this is Jesus speaking, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. All right, so those really negative, bad dreams, you know, the source of those is like, you know, most of the time that is coming from God, or it's coming from your own fears, coming from your own wounds. Every once in a while, it might be a warning dream, but even if it's a warning dream, God will give you a heads up so that you can pray and partner with him to get the very best outcome. It's not to make you afraid. So if you wake up out of a dream completely freaked out, that is definitely the devil. Okay, so those are some ways, some simple ways to start being able to discern the source of your dream. The ones that are just kind of a narrative, don't dismiss those, even if it's a bit of a crazy narrative. Those actually are symbols that God's speaking his language to you. And you have to break those symbols down and use some simple interpretation skills to get the gist of the meaning. So don't dismiss those dreams. A lot of us were thinking, well, if an angel doesn't appear in my dream or the booming voice of God doesn't appear in my dream, then it's not God. That's not true. He speaks in metaphors and symbols, and those examples are all over the Bible.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of a metaphor? I know in your book here, you talk about in the end, in the appendix there, you talk about like common dream elements and what they mean. So you, for example, you do, the first one you gave was babies pregnant giving birth. So if I have a birth, like, you know, if I have a dream about me giving birth, that's a weird dream. But still, it's like, but, you know, what does it mean if you have a dream about giving birth?
Well, when there's a baby or you're giving birth, you know, it really is, you're birthing something. It could be a ministry. It could be maybe a business or some other calling, but that's what it has to do with. And then you kind of look at the elements of the dream. I'll give you an example. I just had a dream last week where somebody handed me a baby that was just like fresh born. I mean, still had womb material on the baby. And I was looking all over the place for a way to bathe this child. And then I realized, well, this child hasn't even eaten anything. How am I going to feed this baby? So I'm like in the dream trying to problem solve how to get this baby, you know, just the basics and get it going, right? And I woke up out of the dream frustrated because I didn't solve the problem in the dream. And so I was immediately in prayer and said, Lord, what was just handed to me, help me to clean it up, get it going, get it thriving, and that this baby would thrive. This new ministry would actually thrive. You know, so I knew what it was about. But that's how it came across in the dream. It was all metaphors, all symbols. Even my emotions were involved. I'm frustrated. I can't get this thing going the way it needs to, okay? And we don't have much time, you know? So, so it's, you know, that's in essence, baby dreams and birthing dreams, in essence, is kind of what you look for with those.
Yeah, that's great. And, it is kind of like you have to seek the Lord in what you're looking for, but especially in these emblems or these things that we would generally think means another thing, but a lot of times they don't. They mean something else. So
yeah.
I think that's very...
Yeah, because I'm not having a baby. I'm not going to have a baby.
Me neither.
Like a
me neither. Regardless of whatever they want to say today, I'm not having a baby.
Right,
so I'm with you on that one. Now what about this deliverance in prayer, in dreams? And you're talking about in the appendix, talk about deliverance from Python. In the book, you're talking about deliverance while you sleep, almost kind of deal, like from the dreams and what's going on. So describe a little bit about that.
Well, it's interesting. God is still, you know, our healer, our savior, our deliverer, even in our dreams at night. And that's what's interesting, is because people, they will encounter Jesus in their dreams. One of our pastors, she got saved because Jesus encountered her in a dream. And he basically told her, here are your two choices. You can go to hell or you can accept your call and start preaching.
Wow.
And so she chose to start preaching. And so she is a preacher with us today. You know, so she got saved in a dream because she was living like a heathen. She was living very badly. So she changed that day because of that dream.
Mm-hmm.
He's also our healer. I know people who've been healed of diseases, and it happened in the dream, and that's where it started. Deliverance, same thing. I know a lot of people that have been delivered from spiritual oppression. You know, real stuff. You know, that was just really oppressing them. All sorts of stuff. Healed in. Delivered of those things in the dreams. Like they'll see a demon leave them. They'll see something happen in the dream and they'll wake up and not have that problem anymore. And that is just beautiful that God would do that at night. Mm. And it's clean. It's not messy. You know?
Yeah.
And they wake up. It's like they just take care of it all in the dream. I found some people, they're really, really bound, especially nowadays, what walks in our church, and I'm sure you experience the same, what walks in our church here in California, from Sunday to Sunday, people needing salvation. I mean, they have some very, very deep, twisted problems. I mean, this is consistent. And so I'm finding that in dreams, God's able to get to stuff that our best deliverance ministers can't touch. You know, it's stuff that's beyond our expertise. But God is doing it. And they're waking up, they're getting their minds back, they're being sound, their trauma is getting removed. It's very beautiful what God is doing.
Amen. Well, I know one more question, then we'll get into. I want you to be able to give them the ways they can get this book, Awaken the Dreamscape, and then you have your podcast. I'd love to just say a word or two about that, so people can find more information on your website. But before we get into that, there is a interesting thing too, and I'm just like, I haven't got to read it back to back. I am going to read the book. I can't wait to read it, and I just. You know, as a fellow minister, you know how it is. You have books you're going to read, but sometimes you got them in order and you're trying to work your way. No, but I do. I find a lot of good things as I'm skimming through and listening to you talk, and I'm just so enjoying this interview. Again, thank you for taking time out of your day to do this. This is really good. What about these intercessory prayers?
I love those. I love intercessory prayers. I am an intercessor. At the core of everything I do, take everything away, but I will always be an intercessor. And with that, again, our spirit is awake night and day. You know, even though we go to sleep, our body goes to sleep, our mind goes to sleep, our spirit is awake, and there will be times when you will actually experience, see yourself. It'll be like a dream, mm-hmm. but you'll see yourself praying and praying for different situations. For me, I often will be praying for nations. I'll be interceding. I'll be doing spiritual warfare. I will be dealing with even territorial spirits. Ephesians 6 talks about that. In the realm of dreams, and you say, well, is that just a dream? No, it's not. You're actually praying. You really are. I've had a few of those dreams where Jesus was right there, and it was like, you know, he's the great intercessor, and we're praying together. Isn't that interesting? Praying together for a nation. And it's just fascinating to me that intercession, the power of intercession, continues. I've always said this, that you know, because I've had dreams where I'm praying for people, you know, in my dreams, that sometimes people wonder, is anybody praying for me? I want to guarantee you that somebody, even if they don't know you, is praying for you. Jesus has a way of making sure everybody's getting prayed for, even people that don't know him yet. And so I found myself praying for people who don't know him yet, praying for people I know, praying for people I don't know, all in dreams, you know. And so God has his stuff covered in intercession, partnering with his sons and daughters in the earth, in the day, in the night, praying for the things that need to be prayed for.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. Have you ever been asleep and the Lord awaken you for a very specific prayer target? Like he just dropped it in you? Or I've been to where like I'm praying in my dream and I wake up and I'm still praying in the natural. Like there's this supernatural thing taking place. And I was just curious if you've had that happen.
Definitely. Again, my assignment, you know, and this is for me, is nations and specific nations, you know, at certain seasons. And so, you know, I'll often be praying for that nation. I'll be working in that nation. And so I will find myself, you know, praying. Like if something's coming up, I'll find myself praying. I'll be praying in my dreams. I'll wake up praying. I'll be praying back in my dreams. Mm-hmm. I'll, you know, and it'll be like this thing I'm going through in the day and in the night, in my dreams, in my waking day, because I'm praying through something. And so it's interesting, you know, the Holy Spirit partners with us. That's not natural. You know, it really is a supernatural thing because, you know, mm-hmm. would you really do that? You know, don't you just want to just sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that intercession will come on you from the Spirit of God, and you'll be partnering with him, and really, you are hitting the target.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love it. I love it. Well, Miss Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on today. It was truly a blessing. I'm so thankful and honored that you were taking time out of your day, and I know we're much more the wise and knowledgeable after this interview. So thank you for sharing that with us. Where can people find your book? Where can people find more resources and the podcast?
Sure. You can get my book anywhere that you can buy a book online. You know, I mean, even Walmart lists my book. But you can also go to jenniferevaz.com. You can hit the shop tab and get the book there. Of course, it's also available on Kindle and audio for those of you who need that. And so that's where you would get the book.
Amen. And your podcast, Take 10 with Jen, is that found on iTunes and everywhere?
Yeah, it's found everywhere, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Miss Jennifer. Blessings to you, and thank you again for coming on and being with us.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you. All right. Excellent. Enjoyed that interview tremendously.
That was so good. I'm in here taking notes. I've been wanting to read the book. I've like skimmed, but now I really want to read it.
Yeah.
We'll have to take turns. Who's reading it first?
Well, I'm, I committed to send it to Nicole first. And then when Nicole's done, then she'll send it back, and then you can have it, and I'll take it.
I might order it.
But it seems like a good book, and that's a rich interview, really good stuff.
We have some listeners chiming in.
Yeah, we had a lot of listeners chiming in, and so Nicole was going to buy it, and I just said I can give you my copy, and I would buy me one later.
After reading the cover and what it was about, I just knew it was going to be good. So I'm excited to see some of the interpretation parts that are in there. So.
We can I may have this book already. I have to check. But we'll order one if we don't. We'll order one. But it's good. It's a good day. We're praying for your church, praying for you pastors and worship leaders as you lead and teach and instruct and do incredible things for the glory of God this weekend. Believe in God for radical transformation, for souls to be saved, lives to be transformed, for the people to be baptized in the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost, and that we would see our nation come to Jesus and repent. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I guess that's it. Thank you so much, you all, for listening. Hannah's always a pleasure. Looks like we're out of here. Going to make room.
Be back Monday.
Make room for Brother Lyndon Frost. Come on and preach to the ministry of the nations. We'll be back Monday, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on the Box 2 Radio Network.